All right, welcome, ladies, gentlemen, everybody in between. This is Feature This, episode 3, Bezo Talking, with another special guest. I'd like to introduce yourself there.
Ethan Billups.
Ethan Billups of the Gary Busey Town Massacre fame.
Ethan Busey Billups.
Ethan Busey Billups. It's more appropriate. Yeah. I think our latest episode of Gary Busey Town just popped up, didn't it?
Yeah, by this time this one comes out, it's probably been out for a second.
All right.
Well, maybe the third episode just popped up.
So if you're into the whole movie thing, we go through all of the different Gary Busey movies, and talk about the main man himself. Yeah. Feel free to go over and click on those episodes and have a look through.
But enough about that.
That's your plug.
Yeah, thank you.
Feature This, Fan Edit Podcast. Okay, so, this is episode 3. We did, Babylon AD. Last time we did, Die Another Day, which was a much better film, the fan edit was, compared to the original. But now we're gonna talk about Man of Steel.
Superman.
The Supes himself.
Big Soup.
2013, one of the new, we're in a comic book age right now, where basically every blockbuster that comes out every summer is comic book related. This is, the way I see it, is a new phenomenon. It used to be Arnold Schwarzenegger movies and Bruce Willis movies as being the big blockbusters for the years. But now that is all changed now, and we get superhero movies. I guess all of the...
Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad?
Suicide Squad's coming, right? Jared Leto as the Joker.
What?
Yeah, you didn't see it? He looks like Riff Raff. He's got silver teeth and tattoos all over himself.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Green hair.
Is this a Batman thing, or is
it?
Yeah,
it's like a big combo of everybody.
Is this gonna be a big feature film?
Yeah, huge. Oh. It's gonna be huge.
So this is gonna be in the Marvel universe.
Uh huh. Yeah, I'll show you a picture real quick, but you can keep going.
So the Marvel universe. So this is DC. DC universe.
Sorry, I'm so bad at.
Nah,
like,
it's all good.
Yeah,
so,
look at. Ooh, Jared Leto as the Joker.
That picture looks pretty sweet.
I mean, it's getting a lot of shit, but.
Well, no doubt, and you know what? It's unfair because of Heath Ledger. Let's be honest. Heath Ledger put such a freakishly high bar on the Joker that anybody's going to try to walk in there is going to be compared to, unfortunately, to that performance.
Jared Leto's so good, though.
He is really good.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I'm looking forward to it.
I will definitely going to see it, even if it's a crash.
Yeah.
They'll watch it for the crash.
Yeah.
Right, so back in the day, Marvel took a big risk, started with Iron Man, to restart its entire franchise on a sort of a B-rate action hero or comic book hero with Iron Man was a big risk. Iron Man was humongous. It started to set forth what was going to be the Marvel Universe, and DC sitting there holding its dick going, how are we going to compete?
Oh.
And so what Marvel did is they released a bunch of individual origin movies and then brought them all together for the Avengers. In fact, Avengers 2 just came out this past weekend. I do not have tickets. Do you?
I haven't gone yet.
I'm going to get, yeah. I'll probably see it next weekend after the crowds sort of fizzle away. I imagine it'll be huge next weekend.
I saw the first one. I like Avengers.
Yeah. So DC, what they decided to do is go a little bit different. It seems like what they're going to do is going to make Superman sort of the spine of the DC world. So we got Man of Steel, which was their launch title, comparable to Marvel's Iron Man.
Yeah.
But instead of doing an origin story for Batman and Spider-Man, they're not going to do origin stories for them. So, like, the next film we're gonna get, I see you have a confused look on your face, like you haven't heard
this
before.
I know, like, Batman vs. Superman is gonna be the big one.
Right, so that's gonna be the film that introduces Batman to Superman in the new DC world, but it's not an origin story for Batman. Batman's already established.
Yeah.
So.
He's got a steel jaw.
Does he?
Yeah.
I haven't seen
You haven't seen the trailer?
Well, oh. I saw the trailer, but I don't remember a steel jaw.
Yeah, he's got, apparently he has to get a steel jaw to like fight Superman. It's like his only way to like not get the shit kicked out of him.
Oh. Yeah,
because Batman has a belly button and Superman doesn't have a belly button. And yeah, so Superman's like godly. And
yes. Yeah, well, I mean, there was The Dark Knight.
Yeah, yeah.
No, not the movie, but there was the comic.
The comics, yeah, yeah. The Frank Miller.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Frank yeah. Miller, where Batman takes on Superman.
Yeah, yeah.
But Superman has to get, Batman has to get like this, he gets him like this crazy suit that's sort of kryptonite laced.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He can take him on. I just assumed that was the suit that he was wearing.
Maybe.
In that trailer.
That makes sense.
Okay. But anyway, so Man of Steel had, as I saw it, like this was going to be the big thing. This is going to be DC's standard bearer, the Iron Man of DC. Is it going to hold a torch to it? And I think Man of Steel is really good, but then it just doesn't, it's like it's so bloated with so much stuff that it sort of falls under its own weight. You haven't seen the original. You haven't seen Man of Steel.
No.
So
I'm admittedly not a huge Superman fan.
Fair enough. Yeah. And I don't think Superman's ever been done right.
Yeah. I'm an image guy. I stay independent.
yeah. So you like the Dark Tower series?
I like all the new image stuff, like Southern Bastards and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, stuff that's more based in reality.
Of course.
Come on.
So Man of Steel it's 2 hours and 25 minutes, something like that. I mean, it's a big Ooh. Movie. And there's always this complaint about long movies, like, well, it's too long. I never really liked that complaint because Roger Ebert used to say that no good movie is too long and no bad movie is too short. But the truth is in this film, there's about 20, 25 minutes of content that you could probably excise from the film and still have a really solid film. There's too often times, people say a movie is too long but there's not really a lot of stuff there that you can cut out without really, you know, creating plot holes and screwing up character motivations and whatnot. But I think there's room here. So what this, to start this off, what Man of Steel starts off with is this big 20 minute opening sequence where the planet Krypton is destroyed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the lore, of course, is Krypton is destroyed in the last ditch effort to save what could be of Krypton. Jor-El, played in this film really well by Russell Crowe, takes his child and then, you know, puts him in a little pod and shoots him out to Earth. So this 20-minute sequence that this film opens with is all of that, but it establishes Jor-El, it establishes Superman, Kal-El, it also establishes General Zod, who is going to be the bad guy of this film. And the problem is that this is sort of an origin story, and we as humans, all that stuff is not really, I mean, it's technically an origin, but really what we're more interested, I think, is how does Superman grow up? You know?
Smallville.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All of the good stuff that would be Smallville content is, that's really the origin. How does he adapt to being Superman?
Yeah.
And so the film does have a few scenes. So what happens is you have the whole action sequence where Krypton is blown up and then instead of going into, okay, he lands on Earth, now let's see him, you know, mature into what he's going to be. Instead, like, the film takes, the screenplay goes into, like, there's this big action sequence on an ocean with an off-site oil drill thing that's collapsing and he flies in to go help them. He's not Superman, like, he doesn't have the cape and cowl, like the cape anyway.
Random guy that flies.
Yeah, he's working on a boat that's nearby and gets information that it's, yeah, so he goes and helps them. And then that, after that is over, then it sort of cuts back to, him as a child and the conflict with him and his parents, with the parents who raise him in this film is that Kevin Costner, who plays his dad, is basically telling him, hey man, Keep your Superman skills, keep them hidden, because people are not going to be able to understand or adapt. Unfortunately, this creates, there's a lot of, this film wants to have a lot of different messages, and none of them are really clear. So the one message it wants to put out there is that Superman, you know, hey, you might be strong and powerful, but be careful, not everybody's ready for that. Then another message it wants to put out is, hey, your mankind's savior, go out and save them.
Yeah.
There's the conflict with even Kevin Costner and Supes is that, you know, on one hand, he's telling him, don't show you who you are. But then on the other hand, he's going, you're going to be known for being, for great things.
Yeah.
Which means that at some point, he's got to show people who he is.
Kind of sorts of plays into like that whole, the Batman vs. Superman trailer where you see like Superman, he's obviously like kind of the heel in it, right? He's got like false god painted over him and stuff, like as a statue. So like people kind of, it seems like a common trope of like people not being able to accept the fact that like Superman has powers and them questioning his motives, I suppose, and stuff like that.
Yeah. And that also plays into, what really makes the X-Men series work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or at least in the first couple of films is that, people aren't comfortable with superhumans walking amongst them, even if they're, on their side, so to speak.
For sure.
So, another thing that happens, okay, so the Krypton explodes, Superman kind of is doing some Superman-y things, but he's trying to be under the radar. You see as a kid that his dad is sort of telling him, hey man, don't show him your powers, but at the same time, you're gonna be known as a great person. So there's a little bit of conflict there. And then inexplicably, which is, from a film editing standpoint, I hate this part of the movie, and when I rewatched it again, it just rubbed me wrong again. But basically what happens is Superman is working in a bar, and he overhears some military people talking about this anomaly that's been discovered in this glacier that's nearby. And the anomaly happens to be an alien spacecraft from Krypton that went there 30,000 years prior, which is never referenced in the original opening sequence, like they shoot out these pods or why there would be something there.
It just shows up.
It's just there. Yeah. And so he overhears this on the sly, and so he goes to check it out. And then Lois Lane happens to be doing a story on it as well. So the timing of Lois Lane going to this, what we'll learn is a Krypton spaceship, a scout ship, coincides perfectly with when Superman goes there. So they have the, like a meet cute inside this glacier, with this ship. And it's like, that's the whole Lois Lane, Clark Kent, Superman dynamic is really interesting.
You gotta have it.
You gotta have it, but this film doesn't take advantage of all the cool stuff you can do with it. Because basically, she sees him as Clark Kent and Superman at the same time.
So she gets it.
There's not even a question of does she or doesn't she. She does.
Yeah.
And now there's a sequence where she kind of like retraces this strange person's steps to the, you know, to find out who his name actually is, but there's no question like, I know you're Superman, whatever.
You don't have a belly button. I see your stomach.
Is there no belly button on his suit?
That's like the thing. He doesn't have a belly button.
I think. I don't know what subreddit
it's like
you're reading.
It's like the only thing I know about Superman is he doesn't have a belly button. I'm like one of the people that like I don't get anything about Superman. I've never like seriously read it. Never devoted myself to the series at all. Only thing I
you've never noticed is that his suit does not have a little dimple.
No, I got it like the thing on Smallville. He like the whole like bit was like, oh, he lifts up his shirt and he doesn't have a belly button.
That happens in Smallville.
Yeah.
Didn't know this.
It's like part of the trailer for Smallville. It's like, oh, you know he's Superman because he doesn't have a belly button. I think they're like born out of eggs on Krypton or something.
Well, they are in other incarnations. In this one, he is in Krypton. All of the this is where some of the themes of this movie get lost, and I don't know from an editing standpoint if there's enough content to really make it work. But see, General Zod, like all the other Kryptonians at that time, are bred in these capsules, as you can say, but they're all bred for specific purposes.
Oh.
You're going to be an engineer. You're going to be a general. You're going to be a whatever. Joel has Superman as a normal birth. He breaks the law and has a normal birth with him.
Superman
has a belly button.
This is my whole problem with like I can't follow like Batman, Superman. Like my whole thing about, it's like there's so many different stories that like they tend to just like weave into ways that like they don't like lay like a bedrock of like he was, you know, he doesn't have a belly button. Like they, everybody should know that. So then everybody should write the story as though Superman doesn't have a belly button.
I know where you're coming from, but as far as the broad strokes as to what defines Superman, the whole belly button thing to me is not on the main, is not a, really? Not a big
it's
issue.
It's like huge for me.
It's huge for you, apparently. Yeah. I'm getting that. Yeah. I've never even heard that before, and I'm not like a Superman fan or like, I don't have like the comics or whatnot, although I've read a handful of them.
It's just like what, I guess what I'm saying is like with those type of characters, is like in comic books is they're established and then they're just, there's so many different hands in on it.
Yes.
And like the way the comic book industry kind of runs like with those characters is it's like you can establish your name, you know, drawing that character and doing a short run, you know, kind of, you know, telling a story of that character. But it doesn't necessarily have to coincide with anything else that's going on. It can just happen and it's just like, ugh. It's frustrating.
I understand, and I have much sympathy there, especially because like that's one of the reasons why I don't even bother reading comics, is because every single author comes in there with their own sort of little quasi take on the character, and so as continuity, they even, you know, they want continuity at one hand, but on the other hand, they want to give the writers the ability to kind of do what they want to do. Yeah. So you end up with this weird hodgepodge of continuity that is so out. It's strange to use the word unbelievable, but in the context of even fiction, it's too far-fetched to latch on to emotionally.
Yeah,
that's how I see it anyway. All so right. I get that. But anyway, to the point is that this movie has a very quick transition in the first act from this guy kind of not knowing who he is, and then he sort of discovers that he was born knowing he was different, but he's not really told how he's different until later in his life. And then that scene is quickly followed by him basically discovering the spaceship. And then Lois Lane knows who he is, and then she wants to write an expose on it, but the boss is like, I'm not gonna let you write a paper that that you saw an alien. And then she goes on her hunt to find out who he really is. And then she finds out who he is, and then basically decides, okay, I'm not gonna write the paper, but that doesn't matter because General Zod, comes to Earth, because once they discover the ship that's been on the ground for so long, it sort of turns on. That sends out a beacon. General Zod knows where he is, so he's gonna come back and exact his revenge.
The old Pacific Rim.
The old Pacific Rim, a cliche?
I don't know.
Okay. So Zod comes to Earth, and unfortunately there's sort of like this plot contrivance where he has to insist on terraforming Earth so that it's fine so he can rebuild Krypton. But if he has a giant machine that can terraform a planet into what he needs, why doesn't he just, you know, go to Mars or some shit?
Yeah. You know, cause they gotta go to Earth. I mean, you gotta make it relatable. If he just takes over Mars, like, it's like, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
He did it.
Yeah.
No one cares.
But I mean, he needs Supes because, Supes holds the Codex, which is sort of like the genetic information of all the Kryptonians. So that's how they can rebuild Krypton. But at the same time, we could probably just go to Supes and be like, hey man, I'm trying to rebuild this city, trying to rebuild our whole civilization. You know, your dad shot you out of the planet, so that you could one day, you know, save Krypton.
Yeah.
Since I'm here and I got the technology to
do
that.
You're supposed to be a nationalist.
Why don't you come help me out and we can save Krypton together? No, we don't have to blow up this little Earth planet that you found. That's yours. You can have that. We'll just take this one over here on Mars. I think I think it's a logical conclusion to make that that's what they should have done. But you wouldn't have a movie if they did that. Yeah. So they say, fuck that. I'm going to destroy Earth, terraform Earth and make this work. So the big, one of the big action sequences there at the end is the giant terraforming machine, which is destroying not only, which has to be destroyed on one end of the Earth, and the other end of the Earth is Metropolis, because it's like this thing that kind of shoots through Earth and then shoots a gravity wave through Earth and then it rebounds and then comes back. So, the point is that Metropolis is getting destroyed by this thing, but Supes can't help out because he's on the other side trying to destroy the other end of it. And then he finally dies. There's a lot of chaos and destruction. And one of the things that I realized in this movie, especially the first time I saw it, and other people have commented, is that there is so much widespread destruction.
Yeah. Well, it's
buildings
gotta be.
Toppling over, people running and so on. And it's like that kind of chaos, I don't think it's kind of weird because like in a post 9/11 world, I know it's like, it feels like it's been a post 9/11 for a long time.
Realistic right now. You're holding it up to high standards.
You need in this post 9/11 world, you need some kind of comment or some kind of character or somebody saying, holy shit, this is bad.
Yeah.
Like instead of just a bunch of what looks like appears to be a bunch of empty buildings just falling down.
Yeah.
There needs to be some kind of comment about the devastation because as soon as all of the devastation is over with, and Superman and General Zod duke it out in the final act of the film, destroying even more buildings and causing more chaos amongst themselves. And then it goes from that shot to another one where he just is kind of happy at home, you know, talking against the general guy going, hey, you can trust me now. Yeah. And he goes back home and he's like, well, I'm going to get a job. I'm going to be a reporter. Mm-hmm. And it's like, really? There's probably a couple hundred thousand people who died and need soups to help rebuild Metropolis. You know, you can't just go out and get a fucking 9-to-5, but all of that's, you know, played against some, you know, music. So you're not supposed to think about all that, but it's very hard not to. Okay. So from an editing standpoint, This is what I was thinking.
It needs more realism.
Well, with the giant flying alien that shoots lasers out of his eyes, it's funny to talk about, well, how far realism can go. But as I said, I've said before, and I think I said it on our podcast the other day, all films are allowed one bullshit factor.
Yeah, okay.
And, the bullshit factor here is that Krypton exists, and with that then you get the whole Krypton story and you get Superman who comes to Earth and so on.
Yeah.
But you can't have cities falling apart without people commenting on it on top of that. It can't be that's the bullshit factor that's a little too hard to swallow. You could take the guy with the laser eyes, but that's But anyway, so here's what I was thinking about as I was watching this, like how would I go about editing this is I would take out the whole opening 20 minutes.
So the whole origin story's gone.
The Krypton sequence is removed. And the reason for that is that there's this scene where when he gets into the scout ship, that's under the ice, he's sort of able to turn it on and there's like this ghost of his dad, of Joel, played by Russell Crowe, who...
Crowell.
Who sort of tells him the story.
Mm. You know, so you just leave that in.
Yeah, you leave
so
you just
that take out
in.
The actual origin, leave in the ghost dad telling him what's going on.
Yeah, and then you as an audience discover what happened to Krypton with Superman.
Yeah.
That makes more sense to me.
Yeah.
And what I think you could do because it's...
So you're in his shoes more.
Exactly. Yeah. And because that's the way the sequence is shot, it's almost like a voiceover, the way he's talking. Mm-hmm. You could actually take some of those shots from the opening sequence and put them in over that voiceover.
So make it a little bit more lively.
Exactly, exactly. Yep. So, I think that I would do that. And then there's these little pieces, cause what happens in the original, it goes from the Krypton sequence to him to the giant oil rig sequence or whatever. I would say cut that. Start off.
That's just him just being Superman. Doesn't do anything, right?
He's being Superman, but he's also like trying to find himself. You know, he's got a beard on. He doesn't know
who he's
going to be.
He's
got a super beard. Which makes me wonder. I always wanted to see the scene of him shaving. You know, because I figured he'd have like 20 razors.
I just keep breaking these razors.
Yeah, like the razor's only good for like one swipe. You know what I'm saying? And like he's like whenever like an advertisement comes on for like a Gillette, like the best a man can get, he kind of laughs, you know. I think there would be. I wanted to see some stuff like that. How does he live in this world? But anyway, so I would take all of the material that they have of him being a kid. Open with that. The spaceship landing, the sequences where he's trying to be a kid, but, you know, there's a scene where he's sort of going through puberty and all of a sudden, like, he can see through people's skins and he can't control.
That happened to me too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's universal.
Yeah. My voice dropped and I could see through people. Yeah.
take all of that, fashion that all together, and then there's this scene, cause what happens is, there's this scene where Kevin Costner dies. And the way he dies is that there's like a tornado that sort of quickly follows up. It kind of starts on this highway. And they get everybody to hide under a bridge nearby. And Kevin Costner runs back to save the dog. And while Superman is kind of helping the other people under the bridge, he can come out and fly out there and save his dad, you know?
Yeah.
But his dad looks at him and is like, no, man, don't do it. We don't want everybody under the bridge to see that you can do this kind of stuff. Like still under the whole theme of keep yourself hidden.
Dang. Till his death.
Till his death. So what I would have done, now that I think about it, well, I would play up, go ahead and use that scene where he dies. And then there's that sort of is the hard end of the opening of the first act. Like that's a really hard end. Then you see him kind of meandering, not knowing what to do. He works at the bar. He works on the oil rig.
The finding himself.
Yeah. Scene. That's the, when the finding
he's
himself
so distraught
seems,
over yeah, Kevin Costner's death.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then if you can squeeze in some kind of a timing delay, so it's not so obvious that, oh, he hears about the alien ship and then goes to discover it right away. Like, try to find out. Maybe there's some other intermarry scenes that you can, some other scenes you can kind of stick in between there to kind of give it some time. But try to delay the discovery of the alien ship as soon as he hears about it. Because what happens in the movie is he literally overhears the alien ship thing, and like 2 or 3 minutes later, he's walking up to the ship. And mm-hmm. It's just too fast. It's way too fast. So I think, from an editing standpoint, it'd be,
yeah, that's pretty crazy because like you, normally I thought that, like the whole point of fan edits was like cut the bullshit and you're like add bullshit.
Me?
Yeah, you're well, like add some fluff. Fluff it up.
In that sense, you need it because like the momentum for some reason skyrockets between he overhears the thing. Now he's, cause like literally like within about a 5 to 7 minute time frame in the movie, he discovers that he's an alien. He overhears that there's an alien ship, and then he's walking into the alien ship. Yeah. It literally happens in about 7 minutes. Now, the film, you know, says that this event happened at this point in his life. This happened at another point.
Time stamps it.
Yeah, but in when you're watching it, it goes by so too quick. So you need a delay there, just so that the audience has time to kind of let that soak in, like Superman did, like the character.
Okay.
But anyway, push that out. Lois Lane comes off as a bitch.
Ooh.
Like her first introduction is telling the generals, I know you wouldn't let me see this thing, but there's a Canadian injunction. So let's stop measuring our dicks. And so like we can go, so you can show me what this anomaly is.
Dang.
It's like, wow. Like nobody
so the
likes
ship's
you.
In Canada or she's Canadian.
Well, I don't
how's
know.
How's
I don't
Canada
know why.
To?
I don't know. She threw the Canada thing out there and I don't know why. I guess I assume it's in Canada. The thing is. Found in Canada. But like I said, they don't really spend a lot of time on it. So
make Lois Lane not be as mean.
Yeah, make her more attractive, so to speak. Man, all those bitchy qualities. You're like, nobody
rude.
Likes that. Yeah. Then, got my notes here. Yeah, hard out and then keep going. like keep, talking
yeah,
about
just move.
Yeah, just, there's a lot of stuff in the movie is fine. There's big stuff. The opening, I would change a lot of that. The different mixed messages, they need to be, I would change the message that I think the film should go for is simply, hey, people aren't going to understand you. Like
yeah.
How strong you are, because there's this other messages where he's like they try to play up like he's like a savior, like a Christ figure. There's even like a shot of him exiting a spaceship, sort of with arms out like Jesus after he's being told you can save them all. Those messages. They play to like what some of the really interesting things about the whole Superman mythos, but the problem is in this movie that none of those really connect. So I would stick to one theme, and that one theme would be, hey, nobody's gonna appreciate you.
Yeah, I mean, you also have to like the thing that it gets me wondering is how much stuff is like premeditated or like plugged for the sake of continuing the series.
We don't know.
Yeah, that's also like, so it's like stuff like that, like where you have to see him kind of, getting a little bit, kind of megalomaniac sort of thing. Maybe that's what plugs into B versus S, You know, stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like they use it, they, it's like little points that they can kind of use you to question him, maybe in a later film or something like that.
Well, I don't know if I misconstrued what's going on, but it's not so much that he, you know, he thinks he should or can or will save everybody. It's just that the movie is trying to, the movie has one subtext where he's saying people are scared of people who are really powerful. And then it tries to do another subtextual line of saying, but you, Superman, are like a god, a Christ figure, yeah. You know? And
I mean, I'm just, the only reason I'm bringing that up is because in the trailer, like that's how they play it. They play it as like Superman the heel. And
oh, you're talking about the Batman versus Superman trailer.
Batman, yeah. Batman's the face and Superman's the heel. And yeah. Like, you hate Superman. You're supposed to hate Superman. But I'm not Superman movies, even superhero movies for the most part, like the mythos and the way that the studios work and all the kind of intricacies that all the people, you know, tend to kind of, you know, pay attention to. Mm-hmm. I don't really know any of that. So I mean, for all I know, there could be like some nerd listening to this, like banging their head on the table being like, it's not even the same studio that's making it. So like, why are you coming up with these crazy hypotheses that don't make any sense? You know, so I mean, it could just me be like reading into something that I know nothing about.
And we'll know more about that when Batman and Superman come down and see what kind of direction they're going.
Yeah. I don't even know if it's the same Superman.
Mm-hmm. Just to wrap up this front part of the episode, I would minimize some of the more destructive elements of the second and third act. Just because, like I said, the more destruction there, the more you need somebody commenting on how destructive it is. And because that's not there, it's a little off-putting. Particularly, I would maybe close down the fight with General Zod, which feels like we've had this big, huge thing where Metropolis is basically under attack, and then there's sort of a mano-a-mano fight with him and Zod that causes even more damage. So I would minimize, maybe cut some of that out just to kind of get to the end quicker. And also, the way General Zod dies is the two of them sort of crash into what looks like some kind of bank lobby of some kind, and General Zod, he's sort of becoming more like Superman because he's a Kryptonian. He's adapting to the atmosphere. So he like turns on his laser eyes and he's slowly moving his laser eyes over to, you know, like these people who are kind of stuck in a corner.
Yeah.
And Superman, before the laser eyes burns, can kill these people. He breaks his neck. Whoa. And the problem is that it's a quite a long little, he's like, really, you could just kind of like move your head over a little bit and maybe angle your eyes over and they'd all be dead.
Yeah.
But instead it's like this really slow burn, you know, across the wall. The way I would change that, I would edit that out where the guy, he turns on his eyes and all of a sudden it's like the eyes are quickly moving and it looks like it's already about to kill those people and he quickly breaks his neck.
Yeah.
Like there's not enough time to think about it, not enough time to like, you know, it's just something that he does impulsively knowing that he has to do something right now.
Yeah.
That's how I would have re-edited that little moment there. And then I would have taken out the little, you know, the happy-go-lucky scene where he, you know, there's a scene where he destroys a drone and then one of the bad guy generals shows up at the very end and it was like, that, you idiot, that costs like $12 million. And I was like, you're not going to find out who I am. So you might as well stop searching for me.
Swank
and then he like flies away and like the general's with this, another army person who's a girl and the guy looks like, why are you laughing? Why are you smiling? He's like, I just think he's kind of hot. And I was like, that is such a weird note to end off of after, you know, maybe a million people just died.
Yeah.
So I would cut all of that out and then I would try to cut there's this cheesy thing where he decides he's going to be a reporter and so he goes to the Daily Planet and he gets introduced to Lois Lane and Lois Lane says, welcome to the planet. Like, you know, she knows who he is. I would cut out all that. A lot of that only because it's so freakishly obvious that he's Superman that the disguise doesn't play as at all. And I would just cut it all out because it just ends on the wrong note for what the whole movie's been saying. And If they're going to do the whole disguise thing, he's pretending to be, you know, the weak Clark Kent character, then save that for another movie, because this one doesn't have time for it. So that's how I would do it.
Oh, whose are we watching? Whose fan edit?
We're, his name, I believe, is Avid4X, I believe.
Avid4D.
4D. Avid4D.
Avid4D.
And this is, it's funny, his edit is actually called Recut Version 2, so this is, ooh, he probably had one edit and then got some feedback and re-edited again. So,
No different names here.
No.
He just like that. I support the rename thing.
I do too.
I think it's cool.
Yeah, I'd put Man of Copper.
He's like the weakest metal then. Just like, anytime they punch him.
It's irony. It's irony.
You just make him like kind of, it's called Man of Copper and it's just all clips of him trying to play Clark Kent. Just like all
that's
weak.
All Clark Kent.
Like the sheepish
the
guy.
Yeah. So yeah, Avid4D, Man of Steel, fan edit. I've talked about the edits I would make. Let's see what he would make.
Yeah.
And, we'll comment on the other side to say if this is any good. Yeah. So we'll hear on the flip side.
Thank you.
People lover. This is Stephen Jones here.
Hey, it's my girl, Mary Loggins.
Mary, could you please be quiet? In trying to tell these people.
No, all you got it too, for the love of God.
Mary, be quiet. Please. Send your physical address to
cult.fusey@gmail.com.
And you will get a nice package.
No, you have a nice package.
Mary, in warning you, cult.fusey@gmail.com.
Alright, we're back. We just finished, was it Avid4D? Is that it? Is that his name?
Yeah.
I've already forgotten.
Yeah.
Avid4D's edit of Man of Steel, I think Recut Version 2.
Recut Version 2.
And, real quick, on a scale of 1 to 10, you?
It's nothing against him. Like, nothing against Avid4D. It's not him, it's like the material. Just don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't... and it was like at such a high frame rate.
So 9? We're going 9?
No. at 9 on like a scale. Like one to
100.
Like, yeah, like okay. 1 to... Yeah, I'd go pretty low on it, like 2.
I am in the same ballpark. I'm probably in the 3 to 5 range here.
Well, what were you on the original?
The original, probably 5 to 7. Now, is that to say that what I saw here was worse than the original? Maybe.
Really?
Maybe, yeah, and I'll explain why, but okay. I want to hear your thoughts because this is the first time you've seen
this film.
You're not a Superman fan.
Yeah, no.
So this didn't win you over.
No, I'm not. I'll remain still not a big Superman guy after what. It's just tiring.
It's
just so long and it just drags and like, Michael Shannon.
You're not down with Michael Shannon.
Like, yes. I don't know. Like, I like him okay, sort of. Like, Boardwalk Empire.
Haven't seen it, but I heard he's good.
He's good. I don't know why he got a, like, half goatee.
I think that's just part of the character design of General Zod. So he plays, that's how they...
He doesn't have one at the beginning and then it's like he comes back with one.
He didn't have one at the beginning?
He was clean shaved at the beginning and then he comes back with the goat. I'm like, it was the only thing that kind of like woke me up from the nap that I was sort of taking.
I didn't even notice that there was a difference in his goatee.
He grew a goatee when he reemerged.
Hmm.
I do not know a lot about Superman, and I'm going to go back. I looked it up. Superman has a belly button.
That was a Smallville anomaly? I was
thinking of Kyle XY.
What?
Look, it looks like Smallville. It looks close enough to Smallville. It's like same looking lead actor. It's like on the same, like, Smallville's on like what, CW or something. It's like one of those shows that's on like kind of just like a crappy network, and but it's about a clone. And yeah, he's a clone, so which is why he doesn't have a belly button.
But we are clarifying that we just did 10 or 15 minutes on the other half of this episode.
My not caring about Superman really showed through and me not knowing.
And my lack of knowledge both didn't correct you. So
we have two people that are
swimming
just
upstream,
pissing off Superman fans throughout this entire thing, which we'll probably do a little bit more. But he has a belly button in this one.
Okay, yeah.
So, I mean, apparently, I googled it, like, it's sort of contentious, but most people agree that he has one.
Okay.
So,
well, now that that's settled.
I'm gonna clarify that, cause I don't wanna make all the Superman fans mad, but, not my cup of tea. It's just like sometimes movies get so big and so grandiose that they just come off as messy and boring. And
I here's something I found interesting about this edit. It shaves off probably 20 minutes in total of the whole movie.
The first movie's hours and 45 minutes long?
It doesn't. No, well, we watched. No, this movie was 2 hours and 9 minutes.
And the other one's
10 minutes.
2:30?
2 hours and 25, something in that ballpark.
It's
so 15 to 20 minutes are cut out, but it does not feel like that. It feels like it's exactly the same amount of length. It doesn't feel like anything's been shaved off in a time sense. It's still really difficult to sit through all of this.
Yeah.
There's still so much more that can be chopped out. In fact, just a case in point, the very, you know, the second to last scene that where he finds the drone, he kills it, and they have the exchange, like, hey, how do we know you're not going to turn on America?
Yeah.
You know, trust me, that kind of thing, like that whole thing could be totally chopped out. If you're a fan editor and you're looking for excuses to cut something out, there's no reason for that thing to stay in the edit.
Yeah.
And yet,
I always like when we went through the James Bond one, the Die Another Day. Like I was just kind of getting the impression that like the idea of like fan editing is to just like make the film a little bit leaner and a little bit more cohesive and, you know, kind of encapsulate like the important parts. And this one is just like, I was like, I don't know what he cut because it's so long. Like it's still like crazy boring. And like, you brought up a couple things that I noticed that he did that were your initial things of like what they should do.
Yeah.
And like, I saw those edits because you brought them up and I was knowing to look for them at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And also like I could see where he put in like kind of a scene transition that might have looked like it was like from Final Cut or something. not to be a dick, but I saw that, and also I was kind of looking for it, but then like after that first like 20 minutes I was just like, dude, like this, like I can't see anything that he rearranged. The James Bond one, like I could see it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was like, yeah, this definitely, like I kind of like point out where it was different.
Mm-hmm.
Even without having seen Die Another Day in years. Mm-hmm. But this one, I don't know what he could have changed.
To be perfectly honest, I was watching this and I noticed one little cut that happened at about the halfway point in the scene where Russell Crowe is kind of guiding Amy Adams through the spaceship. You remember that whole thing?
Oh, I remember it, because how the fuck can Amy Adams fight off the Kryptonian woman?
Well, she doesn't fight off. She happens to like,
she punches her. She punches her out of the pod. Like, how you're an Earth lady. You're Earth lady and you punch the Krypton lady out of your pod.
I don't remember. What are you talking about?
Okay, so.
He's got, no, cause.
Russell Crowe.
Is looking at Amy Adams inside the pod.
Well, he guides Amy Adams through the ship, right?
Yeah.
Amy Adams, he's like, go into the pod. That pod will get you down there, right?
Yeah.
As soon as he's saying that, the girl from Krypton punches through him and he disappears, right?
Yeah.
And then she is in the pod, shooting it out with her laser. That's why her pod is disintegrating while it's falling through the sky, right?
Uh-huh.
But when she's in the pod, Amy Adams
fucking, he like kicks her out or something?
He kicks her and punches her and she falls down. And I'm like,
I'm like thinking maybe somehow the ship like cause they were talking
made them
about,
weak.
Yeah, maybe. Like something like that. But then she comes to Earth and she doesn't have on her fucking face mask
and
she's
that makes
strong
her
as shit.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, I'm like, that's no continuity there for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a super.
In fact, well, actually that little tiny fraction of a moment that you're referring to was, as far as I could tell, the last edit in the film. Not pertaining to anything what you just said, but there's a line that was cut, because as Russell Crowe puts Amy Adams in the pod, the last thing he says to her is, move your head to the left. And she goes, what? And she moves her head to the left, and then the punch comes through, and she successfully dodges the punch as a result. So he cut that out. I actually like that cut.
Because it surprises you a little bit?
Well, because it's just cheesy. It's kind of like movie. I don't even get how Russell Crowe comes back. Yeah,
really.
Well, he's like a weird hologram, but not hologram thing.
Because he can
like,
still affect stuff?
No, he can't touch anything. He only can affect the ship.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
all he can affect because he built it.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the point is that scene, that little fraction of a moment that's cut out, is about at the halfway point. Little laughter, not much more. I don't think there's a single edit that was done from that point on to the end. And there's so many opportunities to make, to cut the fat, so to speak. And let me say, I was going to address something else he said earlier. I think the goal when I'm editing a movie, and I think the goal is for other fan editors when they're making, these films, the goal is to make the edits so that you don't know that they're there. That's kind of the point. So, it's one thing to say, I watched an hour and 45 minutes of this movie and didn't see a single edit, which could be an accolade to the editor.
Yeah.
But in a film like this, where there's so much to cut out, saying I saw, an hour and 15 minutes or whatever of the film and didn't see an edit is not an accolade. Yeah. Because there's opportunities to cut more.
Yeah,
right. So one of the ideas that I threw out on the first half was, using the scene where, Russell Crowe tells him, talks to Superman and gives him the whole history of Krypton, is to use that as an opportunity to use it kind of like a flashback and show some of those earlier scenes of Krypton that would be cut out. That, this editor sort of did that. He that's where you talk about that final cut edit where it kind of blows out in color.
Well, he does like a couple
little,
different
the
transitions.
There's some wipes, yeah. But then what he does, which I think was a mistake, is he sits there and stays on it. Like he cuts back to the Krypton scene and then stays on the Krypton scene for like 10 or 15 minutes or whatever.
That's what I was wondering. I was wondering if what part of the film that was from, if that was from the beginning part that we were talking about.
Absolutely from the beginning.
Okay. I thought it was because it seemed like everything when they were in the ship was kind of this weird like rendery thing.
That's right. Know? And the original, that little rendery metallical, storyboard like thing.
Which looks fucking terrible.
Why is it all cartoony? Why is it all, looks like it's made out of like a children's thing that they would make when you're doing a play or something.
Yeah. Not a dig on Avid, a dig on the movie.
No, that was a creative decision. But the point is that when he goes back and sits on that Krypton sequence for 10 or 15 minutes, the momentum of the movie comes to a complete halt. Cause like Superman's young and he's kind of trying to figure out what he's going to do. And then, Kevin Costner dies and then he's like growing a beard and he's like doing some adventure stuff, trying to find out where he is. And then he finds a spaceship and then 10, 15 minutes, we're going to watch Russell Crowe battle it out or argue over Kryptonian politics and a bunch of shit. And it's just like, and when it comes back, by that time I was done. Yeah. I was like, I'm so, whatever invested I was completely wiped out. And now I'm waiting for some other dramatic something to pull me back into the movie. And it never came because that was the last thing that he ever edited in this film was right there.
And I mean that's what took you out of the original movie too. So
yeah,
it's just kind of leaving in the parts that we didn't like.
Yeah,
you didn't like from the first one.
And there's other stuff that easily could have been. Do you remember the scene where, I thought that was, I think it's a good line. I think it's delivered well by Michael Shannon, much to your dismay. When he's talking to the hologram of Russell Crowe, and he says, I hope you, can you still feel his pain? I will extract, I will harvest the codex from your son's corpse and build and rebuild Krypton atop his bones.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's a great line.
Yeah, it's good.
And it's delivered well. That entire scene has nothing. The scene does nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. He travels all the way to this place. He goes in there and he plays the computer and he does a little thing to destroy, whatever he did. He like destroys the hologram of him, but even then he can get him back if he puts the right chip in. And it's like, that's one of those scenes. It's like, it's bringing the momentum to you just do a 90 degree turn. And it's like, that's the kind of shit that needs to be cut out.
It reminded me of like one of those, like, just like those sci-fi, like made for TV shows that are like an hour and a half long that are just like so bad.
So
it's like, you're just like waiting through it and you're like, oh, I can't take it.
The drudgery of it all. Yeah, you're so not invested in any of it.
I just wasn't. I couldn't get invested. I couldn't care. I think I fell asleep twice. I just woke up. I don't know. Like, maybe I'm the wrong person.
Well, okay, let me ask you this. The beginning part, you know, when he's the child and it's going through all those scenes there, were you on board on any?
Yeah, I mean, I sort of was, but then it was like, when they started doing, just like, they went to Krypton and everything, and I was just like, this is, like, the way it looks, like, the aesthetics of the film just were not appealing to me. Like, nothing looked dark and, like, gloomy. Everything just looked kind of cheesy. I liked, like, the people of Krypton. Like, I like their fucking face masks that they wore. Mm-hmm. Like, those are cool. Mm-hmm. The kind of, like, predatory things. Mm-hmm. Those were sweet. But just the way that the film looked, like, I didn't like the overall look. We were watching it at this really high frame rate, so looked so cheese.
That was one of the reasons why I don't think I can recommend this edit, is because whoever edited this, Avid 4D, he encoded this version, the one that's released, at 60 frames per second. So
it's too much.
It's like if you've ever gone to like somebody's flat screen television and watched it and thought, man, this movie kind of looks like it's
a soap opera.
Yeah. Exactly. That's an effect that you can turn on the TV, depending on what TV has a different name. It's like motion blur, advanced motion blur, auto motion blur plus, true motion, whatever it is. But I'm familiar with it
and I hate it.
I do too. And what it does is it creates, because if film is at 24 frames per second, but your screen has a refresh rate of 120 frames a second, what it can do is it can sort of guess what's going to be in between those two frames, and it creates its own individual frame, puts in between the two, and it takes out the motion blur.
I don't know who made the decision to do it at this, if it was the editor or the movie.
No, it was completely the editor's choice.
Okay. I don't like
whatever software he used to make the film, whether it was Premiere Pro or Final Cut, whatever he did, he exported it at 60 frames per second.
I didn't like that.
I totally agree. And the problem is
it cheapens it,
but it also doesn't let me turn it off.
Yeah.
Cause if I like that look, that hyper, you know, anti-motion blur look, then I just turn that shit up on my TV.
Yeah.
If I don't like it, I can turn it off. Because this is actually encoded at 60 frames per second, it's there all the time.
I'm genuinely curious the decision behind doing that.
I suspect that whoever he is, he likes it.
I don't know how you could like it.
There's some people who turn that shit on their TV and they just live with it like that for such a long time.
It gave me a headache.
It just makes it cheap. It looks cheap. It looks like, wow, that is Amy Adams on the ground there. There's Lois Lane on the ground there. You know, it's like you can totally see. It's like looking at the wires of a stunt shot. Like,
yeah, I don't like it. I didn't like that choice. It just made it really annoying. Like, when we turned it on, we were like, what? Oh, God damn it. Like, this is going to be this, and we can't
do it was literally 15 to 20 seconds in, and we were already trying to figure out if we could stop this.
Yeah, it took us out. Definitely. It took me out.
Yeah.
And the one thing I will disagree with you from the beginning was I really like Amy Adams in this movie.
Mm.
I think she's, like, the probably my favorite part.
Interesting.
She's cool. I think she's, you know, tough, sort of.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Like, I liked her. Mm-hmm. I liked her in this.
To be fair, I don't think anything in the first scenes have been cut out in this edit, so she is exactly how I thought before. But in my, I did, and I originally kind of commented and said that she's bitchy like. Watching it again, I may have been a little harsh in that department. I still think there's room for improvement for her, but I get your point.
Well, I think there's room for improvement on this whole thing.
Mm.
Like, I mean, I think saying she's the best part of it for me
may not be the biggest compliment to
her.
Yeah,
it's like, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like saying, you know, you won, you know, a go-kart race with a NASCAR or something. Yeah, it's not a huge compliment, but just because I didn't really like it, but that's me.
So what this editor did, of course, like I suggested before, was to cut out the whole Krypton sequence, which he did. I suggested starting with the origin stuff of him as a kid growing up, which he did. What I would have done, if you remember those last couple of shots at the end where it's Kevin Costner and him kind of looking back, and he's like a kid and he's got a cape on, he's kind of running around.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have
put that at the beginning.
I would have put that at the front, yeah, put some music behind it just to show, you know, cause that's how I would have handled that.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
I would have had, you know, I would have done the similar things where, you know, as soon as after Kevin Costner dies, then he goes on his exploratory route. So when I was watching the edit, I was like, these are a lot of choices I would have made except for the whole 60 frames per second nonsense.
Yeah.
So I was actually on board with how he was handling up about the first 35, 40 minutes. But after the discovery of the, you know, the glacial, you know, the thing that's hiding
that's
in the glacier.
That's like right when I started to check out.
That was pretty much for myself as well. And I kept waiting for something to bring me back in, and it wasn't there.
It's like they do things that they think will bring you back in by, like, we'll just keep making it bigger and, like, more grandiose.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, the bigger it got,
the more I tuned out.
The more I don't care. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just like, I don't know how that works, but it's just, I don't know. Maybe it's like the law of diminishing returns.
It's in part, but what it is like you lose emotional investment.
Yeah, I don't. I just like.
And so you once those action sequences kick back in again, you're just like, I don't care about these characters. Now I have to wait until they finish this action sequence before maybe I can start caring about them again.
Yeah, and like who was like the 9-foot when they're fighting in Smallville. Who's like the 9-foot Kryptonian
guy? I don't know. They don't
bring
that guy. They don't really get into it. But I will say that
he was kind of cool. I was like
that fight in Smallville is one of my favorite superhero fight scenes in any movie. Yeah,
that fight was cool.
I had a friend of mine who, after we watched this, he said to me, "It's the first movie he saw where he thought that superheroes were fighting against superheroes. Like that's how it should look."
Yeah, for
and
sure.
I totally agree. That Smallville sequence was the epitome of that. But
they blow it up with like the new, they're fighting in New York and they take like that Smallville sequence and just like put it on this like larger
which doesn't work because it's just explosions and buildings falling.
He throws
over.
Them through five built like in one mm-hmm. throw he goes through five buildings
mm-hmm.
and I totally like when we were like at the beginning when you were like talking about like the whole them just destroying a bunch of shit and then like not really referencing it. Like mm-hmm. I was at first I was like, when you were talking about it, I'm like, ah, shut up. Like it's a superhero movie. Like it's, you know, you're just supposed to not care about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was watching it, I was like, kind of, you know, I was like, you know, a lot of people dying, but then like they just instantly like jump to that scene where he destroys a drone and it's just like, you know,
like they gotta put like a news thing in between
something,
there.
Right?
Yeah, some sort of news thing to kind of put a little bit of context within the world. Mm-hmm. Cause they, it's just kind of this like isolated incident and then it's like, I don't give a fuck.
And I'm gonna go work, I'm gonna go work 8 to 5 at the planet now.
Yeah, yeah, that, I totally agree with you on that now after I'd watched it. I didn't think I was going to, but I don't, that was just kind of cheap.
And so the only way to get around that is to...
In editing, I don't think you can.
Well, here's
because
how...
Because it's an, you need to add a scene.
Well, you can't, well, here's how you do it. Here's how I would do it. And, you know, I've got so many ideas about how to make this thing. I may put this in my queue, something I actually edit, but, here's how you would do it. That's the final scene, the big chaos thing. And in my version, he will quickly kill Zod and not sit there with the eyes going closer and closer to the...
That is very...
Going closer
just
and closer.
Move your head quicker.
Yeah, or just look to the right. You yeah. know, it looks like it's not just, I guess it's always just right where
it's
your head
very,
is.
It's very slow.
It's very slow. Yeah. So I trim that out. So as soon as the eyes go out, boom, he breaks his neck, you know?
Yeah,
and he cries.
Cool. Yeah.
And then what you do is you fade to black. And you kick in just to some, like a little somber music going on. You don't go to that drone scene. You go to where him going back to his mom, in the funeral. Or not in the funeral, but in the graveyard.
Oh, when they go
and
to
then,
visit.
And then she asks, yeah, they have a little bit of a conversation and then she asks him, what are you going to do? And all he does is he turns at her and kind of smiles. Then the music swells up. You don't hear any more dialogue. You don't hear any more talking. You don't hear him explaining about, I'm going to go somewhere where I can keep my ear to the ground, yeah. where I can go to dangerous situations. Yeah. And not, none of that's there. All it does is the music swells and the camera, you see him walking into the Daily Planet.
Yeah.
That's all it is. You don't show him in the elevator. You don't show him meeting the others.
You just cut to
them
being like, this is Clark Kent.
Yeah. You don't do any of that shit. All you do is
just walking in.
The movie stops with the Daily Planet in the frame. The name of the thing, Daily Planet.
Yeah,
boom.
That whole,
that's where you cut it off.
Yeah, that whole
because everybody else knows what he's gonna do. He's gonna be working at the reporter at the Daily Planet. You don't need all that introduction.
Yeah, stuff. That was a bunch of like extra junk that you don't need.
But
the drone thing was you don't need that. You don't need the whole interaction with Lois Lane at the Daily Planet. Mm. You don't need any of that. I agree. Like that welcome to the planet thing is like, it's just a cheap pun.
Exactly. Yeah. It very much is. Yes. Yeah, and that's the kind of stuff that makes you go, makes you cringe because in your mind, a couple hundred thousand people just died.
Yeah.
And now she's making a cheap joke.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. Like if you could cut to something of like, yeah, I guess like with the material you have, you just kind of have to do that. That makes mm-hmm. sense. Cause I was like, you could cut to like the planet putting out like some sort of newscast, but it's just like, it's the same thing. Like you have to have that, you have to add scenes.
Which you don't have to do.
Which is the whole, the dilemma of fan editing.
Yeah.
Can only delete.
Exactly. Or if there's deleted scenes, you know, that are available on the Blu-ray or whatever.
Which I can't imagine. They had to have put everything they filmed in this.
It feels like
every take.
2 hours, almost 2.5 hours, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's, you know, I hate like coming down on a fan editor and saying, well, all that work is not worth watching. But unfortunately, I think because he kills the momentum so handedly.
Well, I don't even think he does. The movie does. And
well,
he lets it do what it did originally.
Well, okay. Well, actually, so here's the thing. The way the original starts off with the Kryptonian sequence. And once that's over, it's kind of over. You know, and then you kind of get into the movie and then the movie sort of has its momentum and it kind of rolls along. It never picks up a whole lot of speed. It kind of trudges along, has a few peaks and a lot of valleys, but it never just stops. And the problem I think with this edit is it just stops.
Do more
editing. Yes. Yeah. It needs more scene, more. Oh, there's a ton of fat that can still be chewed out of this thing, cut out of this thing. And I know how much work it takes to, you know, get a movie up and do all the edits and then process it and then upload it. I mean, that's not an afternoon. That's weeks and, you know, weeks, maybe months of work, of free time in order to make that happen. So, no disrespect to, the editor who went through and did this. I think that there's still way more to do on this edit. I think there's other versions. We got to find some other versions of this that are available.
I mean, it is only version 2, so you might have not gotten the most recent one.
Well, I did get the most recent one that's available. Where did you find it? This is on the fanedit.info site.
So it's still, it went through the editors and everything, so.
Yeah, well, the way.
The moderators.
Yeah, well, the way it works on the fanedit community is that you, on your first edit, they require that to be approved by the moderators before it can go up. But after you've sort of been established as somebody who, okay, we trust your judgment, then you don't have to get approval for the later ones. And what they really come down on you hard, the moderators do in the fan edit community, isn't so much things like this. Is it boring?
It's more like tech.
Exactly, if there's technical problems. So, and there's really, outside of the 60 frames per second and the pixelating effects that we got, I don't know if you notice a lot of the pixelating.
I just figured that was as a result of the 60 frames per second.
It could have been.
Kind of being sketch.
It could have been. Or maybe it was maybe my graphics card? I don't know.
Yeah, I wasn't, that I didn't.
I don't think
that
so.
I didn't hold against it. I didn't let that take me out of the movie. I
spend so much time making sure on my edits that everything looks like it's the fucking DVD quality or Blu-ray quality.
But it could be one of those things where it's like it did on his and then when you send it out on someone else's. So. Who knows? Who knows?
But either way, as something that's different from the original, yes, you might want to take a peek. But I don't. What you're not looking at is something that's going to replace your Man of Steel.
It doesn't replace it.
It does not. And
but the original one shouldn't be on your shelf anyway.
It was a big movie. People are going to have it.
Yeah, but I don't know why. I don't.
Obviously,
like it.
Ethan doesn't. Improve.
It is the same Superman, by the way, for Batman vs Superman.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, so the Batman, yes, will sort of be like a pseudo sequel to this.
New Batman, same Superman.
New Batman, same Superman in the same universe.
In this universe?
Yes. So
really, I thought it was in Gotham.
Well, it's in the same universe. So that universe has a Gotham city.
And
a New York. This is Metropolis.
Yeah, yeah.
So there will be a New York because when they introduce Spider-Man,
he
will have come from New York.
Ugh. Just gives me a headache. It's too much.
Too much superheroes, right?
Too many. I can't keep track. I just like I said, I'm an image guy. I'll sport that to the death.
Well, maybe we can find an image fan edit and see if we can wow you with that.
I don't even know if they spawn.
Spawn, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. Grew up on that.
There we go. Alrighty, so this is Bezos signing off with
Ethan Buska.
Alrighty, thank you for listening to Feature This. Another episode will be coming. What it will be, I don't know, but we'll make an announcement shortly. And again, thanks for listening, and take it easy.
Bye-bye.